Hello, and welcome to Required Reading, the podcast that revisits the most impactful books from our childhood. I'm your host, Erin Bowles. I am a writer, actor, and comedian. And this week, I'm by myself. We're doing, I don't know if it's going to be a mini episode, but we're doing something new. I am going to read all of the Goosebumps books, all, 26 of them? We're starting with Welcome to the Dead House by R.L. Stine from July 1992. I'm looking actually at it, and it seems like the second book was also published in July of 92. R.L. Stine is our author. He is from Ohio. His dad was a shipping clerk. He comes from a Jewish family. He starts writing at age 9. The Goosebumps book are the second best-selling book series of all time. Not just kids' books. Number one is Harry Potter. Not just kids' books. All time. I think number three is Perry Mason, which is about lawyers. That's for grown-ups. But I am about to start reading this. I'm going to give you updates. Not every chapter, because I'm looking. There's 18 chapters. Good golly, Miss Molly. But there's a section called Behind the Screams. I'll read you the very first. This is available on Hoopla, at least through the LA Public Library. Shout out to them. Oh, chapter one. Josh and I hated our new house. Sure, it was big. It looked like a mansion compared to our old house. It was a tall red brick house with a sloping black roof and rows of windows framed by black shutters. It's so dark, I thought, studying it from the street. The whole house was covered in darkness, as if it were hiding in the shadows of the gnarled old trees that bent over it. It was the middle of July. Wowie! That's when it came out. Okay, I'm gonna put you on pause. I'm recording this on my phone. Is that okay? We'll see. All right, it's February 25th. I'll check back in with you in I don't know how many pages. We'll see what's happening. Oh, and I meant to tell you a little bit about July of 92. At the Democratic National Convention, Bill Clinton is nominated to be the Democratic candidate for that election that year. He does win. He says he is running on behalf of the, quote, forgotten middle class. Nothing ever changes, I guess. July 25th to August 9th is the 92 Summer Olympics held in Barcelona. Georgia joins the UN. We'll say that's it. So 12-year-old Amanda, 11-year-old Josh have just moved into this creepy old house 4 hours away because their dad got it from a dead, mysterious, never heard of before uncle, right? Amanda looking at her room. There's a window seat. She's in the attic. There's mysterious cartons of stuff to look through. I love it. She sees a boy in the doorway and he runs away. Her first response is, must be haunted. Whereas when I was in elementary school, this random girl named Fang, not kidding you, just came into my house sometimes. It's like twice. Just came into my house sometimes. One time stole a package. It was an Amelia Bedelia book. I wanted it back. And then one time I got cut in the backs of my knees by a kite when we were playing. And I still blame her for it. Just kidding. She was clearly going through something. Okay, chapter two. Josh, 11-year-old little brother. Whiny baby. He's going through a move. Like, that's not... His parents fucking hate him. And they find him in a graveyard. Which, by the way, I actually had a very positive relationship with graveyards as a kid, because at summer camp, when we had the one sleepover, we were always camped, not in the graveyard, but directly next to the graveyard. So, like, they're pals, you know? It's just rocks. And even if it's not, like, on to chapter three. What you need to know. Number one, dad is fat. Number two, best friend, also fat. Number three, this family is unpleasant. They're working on the move. They're packing everything up. Everyone is at each other's throats, including the dog, except our protagonist, Amanda. This is an unhealthy family situation. She will need therapy. She is trying to moderate everyone's emotions. Fourth thing, the boy that she automatically assumed was a ghost is in their window. Classic horror. R.L. Stine is often described as children's Stephen King, and I know children read Stephen King. If you were one of them and you would like to do one of the podcasts, please come. Chapter 4, she sees the same boy in the window. She says, hey mom, there's a boy in the window. Nobody believes her, of course. That storyline, it happens so often, always bothers me. Nobody will believe me, but I understand that like it is not only very true to life, it's very... My kitten spends 2 hours a day asleep and the other 22 screaming. But what I was saying, she's cute. What I was saying is... Not being believed feels like a hallmark of childhood. I know we've discussed this in some episode, but I think that definitely feels very true. And one thing I will say is that in chapter 4, Josh scares Amanda. Chapter 5, Amanda scares Josh. Everyone is pulling pranks. And I will say, R.L. Stine is good at chapter endings. Like, he is a good way of saying, oh, he is a good way of making you say, I must read the next chapter, which is always really good for me. I am at the end of chapter 6. Chapter 6 is Amanda's trying to fall asleep for the first time in her new bedroom. And here's her dream. I want to read it to you, right? She's having a dream. They're all sitting, her family is all sitting around a dinner table eating. But then, slowly, everything came into focus, and I could see that beneath our hair, we had no faces. Our skin was gone, and only our gray, green skulls were left. Bits of flesh clung to my bony cheeks. There were only deep, black sockets where my eyes had been. The four of us, all dead, sat eating in silence. Our dinner plates, I saw, were filled with small bones. A big platter in the center of the table was piled high with gray-green bones, human-looking bones. Then, in this dream, our disgusting meal was interrupted by a loud knocking on the door and insistent pounding that grew louder and louder. It was Kathy, my friend from back home. She's the fat one, by the way. She said, people can't believe that we're friends because we look so different. For example, I have dark hair and I'm thin, and she has blonde hair and she's chubby. But like, okay, I never like dream sequences. I feel like I have said this on the podcast before. I am not a dream sequence fan. But this, good job. His real first name is Robert. It has to be. Good job, Robert Lawrence. What I'm realizing about doing an episode by myself is I have so many questions. And I know you can comment on YouTube if you're listening to this on YouTube. I know you can comment on Spotify, I think. At least someone did that in like 2023 when I started the podcast. Really, 2023 is a weird year. It just sounds weird to be like established in. Like, no, that one doesn't sound quite right. Did you ever move? Around what age? Chapter 7, she sees a girl. And Josh is arguing. Josh is like, I don't want to go out. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I'm still on this thing of like, because it keeps happening in the book, of like, the parents aren't believing her. She says, I saw somebody up there. And he goes, stop seeing things, okay? Which I did laugh at that. But I think just like, why do parents see and observe a pattern in their child, which is good, and then just go like, ugh, get over it. Instead of saying like, I wonder why this is happening. I wonder what's under here. I wonder what's causing it. And I don't know. I mean, I know that like my profession as a writer and as an actor requires those questions to be good. It is the essence of what I do. And I know I'm a very empathetic person. I know I'm always trying to figure that out. But I just feel like as a community, we could all just be a little more curious and inquisitive. I don't know. My boyfriend says this thing that's like, never attribute malice what can be explained by stupidity, right? Or ignorance. And I'm getting that, but it's just like, why aren't we sort of saying like, whoa, I'm getting a lot of big feelings here. Why is that happening? Like, what do you, because it's always like, there's always a need. So why aren't we saying like, okay, what do you need right now? How can I get you? Because obviously like parents want the behavior to stop, right? And in this situation, mom and dad, like, no, she's gone through a new school. She's having issues. We're having issues too. It's just like, as a parent, you make a commitment to have a kid, and every single second, that kid has to come first. And I think that's also like, I really believe in the thing of like, it takes a village, because like one or two humans, like every human has to take care of themselves first. This is why I don't think I would be a good parent, is because I'm like, every day I'm still learning how to take care of myself. And you have to be so, so, so selfless to take care of a kid, you know? Also, Michelle Trachtenberg just died, and I'm really sad about that. And that, her character on Buffy was so important to me because it was so heartening. And this is the thing the show did at the very beginning also, because it just said, like, being a kid and being a teen and being in high school is hard. And with Dawn specifically, it was like, she deserves to be messy, right? And so many people hated her character. So I think that definitely fueled me to just be like, I'm contrary at my heart. So I did just want to be like, you're wrong. But also, like, she's a kid. Let's just all be nicer to kids, okay? Let's just all be nicer. There's so much they don't know. There's so much they don't understand. There's so much that they don't have and can't do. Just be nice, you know? Just be nice. So Amanda and Josh are out on a walk and they meet a boy named Ray Thurston. And I'm sorry, Ray, for like a tween? No one under the age of 40 should be named Ray. I'm sorry. Okay, so chapter 10, there's this like menacing group of children circling around Josh and Amanda with baseball bats. And then Mr. Dawes, who, it's unclear, but somehow he is overseeing the house because there was no sale. Dad got it. Oops, my cat just left. Dad got it from like a wealthy uncle, right? So I don't, it's unclear, and I'm very suspicious of him. But he got the kids to chillax, and then they played baseball, and then they all suddenly are like, we gotta go. It's 11:30. We have to go. 11:30 a.m. And as they're leaving, this one girl, Karen, is like, oh yeah, I used to live in your house too. Goodbye. Interesting. I am interested. I have to say, I am almost halfway through, and he's getting me. I'm engaged. I think my big issue thus far, my cat just left again. She hates the sound of my voice. I think my big issue so far is just like nothing is happening. I am on page 46 out of 85. They're running to the graveyard to look for their dog. It's midnight. The parents are at a party, a housewarming neighborhood party, someone else's house. And Ray is like, do not go to the graveyard. And they're going to the graveyard because that's where the dog ran the first time when he ran away. And it's just like, am I going to get to the book and like, I'm 99% certain Amanda and Josh and this dog Petey aren't going to be in book two, you know? That'd be silly. But also, I mean, it's a young kid's book, you know? Stephen King of children. I've never read a Stephen King book. Okay, this is me 5 seconds later. Next page. They're at the edge of a cemetery, and there's this, like, big amphitheater. And if there's anything you know about me, it's that I love an amphitheater. And she asks, who would build an outdoor theater at the edge of a cemetery? Me, I would, okay? The dead still deserve theater. And listeners, I think you agree. I can hear you agreeing. I'm just gonna say it. The only unsettling thing about graveyards is baby graves, okay? That's it. We've got it, babes. We're on page 49 out of 85, and we've got it. They're in the graveyard. They finally look at one of the headstones, and it is Karen. Karen, her new friend. And Josh says, no, it's probably her mom or her grandmother. And no, this Karen died at 12, the same age as her friend. Wait, huh? The next gravestone had the name George Carpenter on it, 1991 to 2004. Let's remember, I think this book didn't come out until 92. Josh, look, it's George from the playground. Jerry Franklin and Bill Gregory, all the kids we had played softball with, they all had gravestones here. My heart thudding, I moved down the crooked row, my sneakers sinking into the soft grass. I felt numb, numb with fear. I struggled to see the writing on the last stone in the row. Ray Thurston, 1993 to 2004. Wait, what year did this book come out? I don't remember. They died in the future? What? Is this like a reprint? Huh? When did this book come out? Okay, so the original book came out in 92.
However, it was reprinted in 2011, or at least that's, I'm reading it on Hoopla for my local library, and that one says 2011. So in there, the children would have been dead for 7 years, because all of the children, or at least multiple of them, die in 2004. I'm looking on Wikipedia. This is, it was re-released in 2010. Hoopla says 2011. Very curious, because I know there's a Behind the Screams section. Tricky, tricky. Okay, now it is indeed getting chilling. But one last thing on the 2004 deal. I think it is spookier, I mean less logical, but I think it is spookier if the date is in the future. Whatever, I'm wrong. For clarification, I think the story is saying that they've been dead for 6 to 7 years. And then Ray, about Petey the dog, is like, they can always tell. They can always tell when we're one of the living dead, which is why they have to go first. So Petey is dead. Ray is saying, like, I'm the watcher. I'm the one who's watching you. I had to do it. We had to invite you into the dead house. And then, for some reason, this is my favorite. Ray starts floating. Luckily, Josh comes in with a flashlight, and the flashlight starts melting Ray. Let me see, because I'm reading this on my phone. Let me see if it'll keep recording while I'm doing something else. Will it? It seems to still be going. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Slay. The wonders of technology. Okay. Ray's skin seemed to be melting. His whole face sagged, then fell, drooping off his skull. I'm reading this to you because I'm like, damn, R.L. Stine, you're giving us some very frightening imagery. Good on ya. I stared into the circle of white light, unable to look away as Ray's skin folded and drooped and melted away. As the bone underneath was revealed, his eyeballs rolled out of their sockets and fell silently to the ground. Damn! Okay! I realized I want to give just a little shout out to the podcast Teen Creeps. They were a huge inspiration sort of behind, like, I was found myself listening to a couple minutes before this when I was reading that, and I was like, oh, I'm reading this in the exact tone that those hosts like read passages in. So I just realized, like, oh, check them out. I would want to invite them on the podcast, but I already contacted one of them years and years ago when I was working with this production company about like somehow dramatizing this great series that she made, and she like was not warm to it, which I get, like, I left that job, but I'm a little scared. So end of chapter 14, they get back to the house. They're like, we have to tell mom and dad, but guess who's there? Karen and all the other people. So then they start like coming in, they're all smiling, so creepy. And one says, we used to live in your house. They're all saying that. We used to live in your house. And then Jerry, one of them, goes, and now guess what? Now we're dead in your house. Which I don't think is a sick line. Sorry. Oops. Okay, so Mr. Dawes has arrived. Remember, I was suspicious of him. He said he was at the party with your parents. All of a sudden, they formed a circle, meaning the other adults. I just realized the only adult we've seen in Dark Falls, that's the name of this town, has been Mr. Dawes. And he's like, somehow the three of us got away. We've all got to get away from here. So what I'm doing, why I turned this on, is in case I'm right later in predicting the events of a children's book that came out 33 years ago. Okay, so I just remembered that Mr. Dawes is allegedly new in town. Okay, yeah, he's dead. He is dead. So another thing, oh, but also he's dead in, I think, 96. Just remember, yeah, 96. Just remember when we were, you know, having that conversation. But really, Mr. Dawes picks them up and they're like, where are our parents? I kind of expected their dead bodies to be in the back seat, but I was like, oh, I don't know if RL will take us that far to, you know, actually seeing your parents' dead bodies, because, you know, they are children's books. But Mr. Dawes is like, they're in the cemetery amphitheater. How come the kids are not like, oh, that's bad. That is a bad place to go. Oh, well, they're 12. Okay, I love this detail. Mr. Dawes, this, I'm reading a quote from him. This was a normal town once, and we were normal people. most of us worked in the plastics factory on the outskirts of town. Then there was an accident. Something escaped from the factory. A yellow gas. It floated over the town so fast we didn't see it, didn't realize, and then it was too late. And Dark Falls wasn't a normal town anymore. We are all dead, Amanda, dead and buried. But we couldn't rest. We couldn't sleep. Dark Falls was a town of the living dead. Now here's a fun little layer of context for my reading of this. I just finished watching Erin Brockovich. Erin Brockovich is about this woman who is just a normal, hardworking mom who becomes, she starts working for a law firm. What matters is she discovers that in this small California town, PG&E, and this is based on a real story, Pacific Gas and Electric, has been poisoning the groundwater. And that's why everybody has cancer. Everybody's dying. But also this idea of something escaping from the factory. This reminds me so much of the work of one of my favorite authors of all time, Jeff Vandermeer. He did the Southern Reach series, which starts with Annihilation. And if you know the movie Annihilation, like, that is a good movie, I concede. But, like, that book cannot be made into a movie. And that's not, like, being snooty. It's just, like, when you read that book, the way it is written is amazing. But it is so, like, it only works when you are that deeply rooted in the character's perspective. So I just don't think it works. But it also reminds me of this book that I just bought because it's pretty by Don DeLillo called White Noise. That, an industrial accident unleashes an airborne toxic event, which is, by the way, a very fun band. Listen to their song sometime around midnight. A lethal black chemical cloud floats over their lives. And that was a movie, too. Like an old Hollywood, I mean, not old Hollywood, like 50s and 60s, obviously early Cold War movie. And they were all, or maybe it was a Twilight Zone episode. Oh, gosh, Erin, they don't care. They want goosebumps. The parents are alive. They're just bound and maybe gagged in the cemetery. Mom's hair was all messed up. They're watching everyone. They figure out that sunlight destroys them. Then they push over this gigantic tree and all the light comes in and they all start melting and turning to ash. And they're all saying, thank you, thank you. Mom and dad are like, let's get the fuck out of here. And then, like, as they're driving away, because luckily we couldn't sell our old house, a new family pulls up immediately. And Amanda's just like, gotta go. Gotta go. But let's look at behind the screams. I'm engaged. I'm intrigued. So behind the screams was not super interesting to me. It was like, bro, has your dog ever been haunted? And Arnoldstein was like, no, man, but dogs know about thunderstorms. But that's okay. I am an adult reading a child's book. What's the next book? And I should just have the goosebumps Wikipedia page open at all times. So let's look at this little schedule, right? This episode should be coming out on March 5th. Then March 12th, we might have an episode coming out about Charlie Bone, the first book in the Charlie Bone series. But here's the thing, that day, the episode of a show I'm in comes out. So if I'm in it, I probably won't post about it. So if Charlie Bone posts on the 12th, check in on me. I might be dead. Oh, God. Oh, God. Don't think too hard, babes. Okay, what's next? The second book is called Stay Out of the Basement. Dr. Brewer is doing a little plant testing in his basement. I'm already on board. Harmless, he says, but his daughter and son, Margaret and Casey, were worried about their father, especially when they see some of the plants he is growing down there. Then things get real strange when they notice their father developing plant-like tendencies. Again, I know I mentioned Jeff Vandermeer, but really, truly, like, I have a very special place in my heart for, like, eco-horror. I think that's so fun. And just, like, plant-based horror. So what I'm saying is go read Annihilation by Jeff Vandermeer. Read the whole series. You can find me everywhere at Erin R. Bowles. I'll see you next week. God, why do I burp so much on these? Okay, if you want to support the podcast, please do. Go to buymeacoffee.com/requiredreading. Follow me everywhere at Erin R. Bowles.
Some titles coming up: Midnight for Charlie Bone, The Last Unicorn, Fable Haven, Barbie Swan Lake.
Yes.
Captain Underpants, Great Gatsby. I'll see you then. Love you so much. How do I, oh, how do, wait, huh?